endures forever. Praise God, praise God, praise God. One offering at the end. Praise God. We are delighted to have the guys from Canaan Land tonight here. They're going whitewater rafting in the morning. Glory to God. Don't lose but 8 or 10 people a year over there, so don't worry about it, guys. I'm teasing you. It's wonderful. You'll love it. I actually went with Canaan Land 1 year, and I think I've done it 3 years over the years. And another guy, his brother was a guide, and he gave us a personal tour, a real specialty tour. And then I went with you guys maybe once or twice. I'm not sure, but I know I went, and we got to a certain part, and they let you get out and swim toward the end. It's kind of milder there. And they were over there trying to pull me out of the raft. You know, of course, they're down low, and I'm on the raft, which I got the high ground, you know. And finally they said, Max said we get something, some kind of pointers, if we could pull you over. And I went, oh, okay. So they pulled me in. But anyway, we're so glad to have Caleb here. Amen. And you know, of course, that he and Brittany just had their second baby, second little girl. Praise God. What's the second daughter's name? Annabella, and the first daughter? Victoria. But Victoria and Annabella, and they are a happy, 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 happy couple. Praise God. And doing wonderful things for the Lord. And we have been so close to the Gober family over the years. As a matter of fact, stand up, Josh. We've got another Gober right here. Josh right here. Praise God. Amen. You know, you're going to make this funny, but I just made the Bible connection today of Joshua and Caleb. And I just always like Bill and Ted, you know, and I went, oh, I get it now. Canaan Land, Joshua and Caleb. I'm serious. I just made the connection today. But your dad said he didn't plan it? Oh, okay. Anyway, they are here, praise God. And Caleb is a worship and praise leader, a preacher, praise God, a minister of the gospel, a teacher, and has blessed us here before. And so he's going to come and minister to us tonight. So let's all stand up one more time. Praise God. You all got all settled in, all comfortable. Give him a big, big hand back to Cleveland, Tennessee.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. All right. I believe I'm turned on. Am I turned on? Praise the Lord. I'm on? All right. Praise the Lord. Well, y'all can be seated. It's good to be here at Cleveland Christian Fellowship tonight. And we've been coming for many years. And before I even began preaching or teaching here, I was coming for the fun. I was coming to go down the rapids. And my goal was to always get out of the raft and take somebody with me. And but where it was safe, you know, so. But anyways, thank you, Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret. Thank y'all, Pastor John, Miss Sheila. Y'all have been a blessing to my family. And, oh man, kind of hit me. I get overwhelmed at the goodness of God and the people that He puts in your life. And the men's lives that have been changed coming through Canaan Land. And Josh Nation, graduate of Canaan Land Ministries. Stand up, Josh. I know they know you, but good to see you. Amen. And I found his good thing. And I found my good thing here. And I came to see Pastor Mark and be a part of Dr. Jerry Savelle's meeting. And I think they were doing a bike tour. And swinging by here, so I said, hey, can I come and stay with you and hear Brother Jerry? And he said, come on. And so I came and saw her, and I was like, yeah, okay. And so anyways, we got to talking, and it worked out. I'm just But I told him that the only one I really, you know, stole, I'm not a sheep stealer, but she was a fine one to pick off. But anyways, I did ask for forgiveness, and he's allowed me to come back and preach, so we must still be good. But all the rest of them that followed her to Alabama, I have nothing to do with. But the grandma moved and the mom moved, and yeah, so praise the Lord. They're all doing good, all mule-lipped. They couldn't come with me. They were so sad. They're like, you're going to Cleveland, and we're not able to come with you. And I said, well, you know, I would love for y'all to be with me, but somebody's got to stay back. So they're taking care of the girls. And Victoria Faith Gober, she's almost 3 years old, and Annabella Grace Gober, she's about 6 weeks old. And so everything's kind of new on that, getting everything situated and all the challenges that come up and solving problems just to have another problem to solve. And God's been good. He's been faithful to us, and we're figuring it out. Praise the Lord. But it's been an absolute joy of our life to, you know, be parents be able to train kids up in the ways that we've learned and how good and how faithful God is, and see the gifts and the anointings on their lives develop over the years. Amen. And how many has not heard of Canaanland? Anybody here not heard of Canaanland Ministries? Okay, one, two. But most of you have. And so I just wanted to kind of say Canaanland Ministries, you know, is a place. It's a one-year Bible training center for guys that have, you know, lost their way, drugs, alcohol, life-controlling issues. And Canaanland is a place to come and get help. And we take them in for 1 year, love on them, teach them a lot of the word, prayer, worship. They have three Bible classes every day. And then, you know, our work day throughout the day. And my dad always said that we help them get a trade if they don't have a trade, help them get their GED if they don't already have their GED, and then most importantly, get grounded in the Word of God and the three major things that we have offered over the years. And we've seen God do great things and good things, and He's still continuing to do that. And if I could, I'm gonna put Tony on Front Street. But Tony, I want you to come up here. Do we have a mic that he can use? Amen. Come on up, Tony. He's been with us for a little bit now, and was under my dad when he was here, and sat under his teaching, and is at Canaanland getting help and further training in the things of the Lord. And I wanted you to be able to have an opportunity to share what God's doing in your life in this season, and the things that you're learning the most that's impacting you for God. So go ahead.
Praise God. Well, I'm learning a lot about relationship, and not just relationship with people, but with God. And not just a relationship with God, but with people. Because God created us for relationship, and that we can grow that way together, you know, and build each other up and encourage each other. And as you go to a place like Canaanland, you deal with a lot of different people, a lot of different people, so you have a lot of different relationships. And some of it doesn't rub right, sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it does. But all in all, you grow. You know, like the Bible said, iron sharpens iron. So we got to sharpen each other. So I'm going through a sharpening process. And it's a good thing because it's making me better. And it's making not just me better, but it's making us all better because we're growing together. You know, and that's what Canaanland is about. It's about growing in wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God, as well as how to live. And they teach you how to live a life, a prosperous life, a blessed life, not just amongst each other, but when we graduate, and we can go on and wherever God leads you. And that's the main thing, is to learn where He's leading and learn how to follow His leading. And that's something that they're teaching us, is how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to be able to hear the Spirit and receive from that Spirit. Mm-hmm. And when you do hear it and receive from it, that you step out in that direction. And I thank God, because there's so much teaching there, and it's, because there's always so much to learn, but it's so much teaching. So so you can learn bad things about God and growing in God and relationship, not just relationship, but in everything. Because we need growth and development in every aspect of life, and I'm getting a lot of that while I'm there. Mm-hmm. And the pastor has been a blessing. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Brother Mac in a lot of ways. And so did Brother Josh. They all got They both have his ways, certain ways about it. And it's just because I remember being under him, and everything that he taught, it stuck with me. Amen. 27 years later, it's still with me. And they're I know their mom's astonished by a lot of things that I remember that happened way back then, but it's because it touched me in such a way. Even though I got back out there and I started doing things my own way again, it didn't leave me. The Bible said, like you said, you just said about your kids, you train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. You know, even though I got away from it, but it was still with me. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things that he said, in the sense that he had, I still remember all of them. You know what I'm saying? I remember the times that we had, even when he taught me how to ski. Took me about 45 minutes to get up on the skis, but he had those fangs, like you say, put his teeth in, but he pulled them out. As soon as I got up on the thing, he pulled them out and smiled at me. I just got up.
He wanted to identify.
Yeah, but that's just how he is. Yeah, exactly. At the time, I had my teeth. But, you know, it's like a blessing that all the things, the times I share, I still remember. And I'm learning more, getting more relationship, and more times that are going to be with me for the rest of my life. And it's a life-changing place. And I recommend that if you aren't partnered with it, you partner with it, because it's sowing seed. Because I learned from Brother Jerry Sabella, I listened to a CD last night. It's about that connection that you have. Well, whoever you have a connection with, whatever's on them will get on you. So if you be around wise people, you'll be wise. You know, I'm learning that. Amen. God bless y'all. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Marcus, come on up. Come on up, Marcus. Come on, buddy. Come on. I know. But how many of you are partners with Cane Land, or you've given in to Cane Land over the years? And so this is an opportunity for you to see the fruit of your seed. Amen. God's restoring things. Amen. I just want you to share something about what God's done in your life since you've been at Cane Land. Things that you saw before you came in that you didn't know, that you grabbed a hold of, and what God's doing in your life now since you've been at Cane Land.
He's helped me just in so many ways, to humble myself and taught me about pride, and taught me a lot about on the word every day, how to just making the decision to ask the Lord to come into your heart, to change your life, and open up your heart to Him, and let Him come in and change it, and change your thinking, renewing your mind, turning your life around, getting a whole year to dedicate yourself to the Lord is just awesome. Mm-hmm. That's just a blessing right there. That's one of the main things, that like you have a whole year there to just really grow and get grounded and rooted in the Word, and then you water it, and it's just a perfect place to get a foundation. Mm-hmm. So you can, when you leave Candyland, you can be successful, and just a great place all around. Mm-hmm. And the relationships of all the people, long lasting friendships with like Tony and Brother Joshua, mm-hmm. and Pastor Caleb. And, I love the Gobers a lot, and everything. Amen. They pour into us so much of the Word, and it's just a blessed place to be. Amen. It's really good ground.
Amen. Thank you, Marcus. Amen. 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 Anthony, I don't know if you want an opportunity, but you don't have to, but the opportunity is there. I didn't know if you wanted to say anything. Come on, man. Woo! Yeah. Thing from your heart. God's restoring. I want you to see. I want you to see tonight what your seed is producing. And you know why it's so emotional and personal? Because me and my brother Joshua, we've been in there working every day. Me and Josh are just about, and we're working a lot with these guys, a lot more hands-on, a lot more personal than before. And so when you work with someone every day and you see all the little changes to the big changes, you know, from the little things to the big things of what God's doing, how God's shaping, how God's molding, and when you think you can't go on, the grace of God comes, the glory of God comes, it moves, it breaks through, you have victories. And I guess the reason I'm so emotional is because it means much more to me having been more hands-on with all three of you than before. You know, we've always had, you know, plenty of counselors and different things, and that's growing and getting back to where it needs to be. But right now, me and my brother's been there all the time, pouring into them, you know, speaking the word. And I've seen such phenomenal changes in all three of you, and I just wanted them to see it as people that have seed in Canaanland. So.
I think probably what I feel led to share is the world distracts us. I believe that's the enemy's number one ploy, to distract us. Myself, I fell victim of that many a times, chasing fruitless endeavors, occupation, hobbies, you know, all that stuff. And, and we can never really find enough time to spend time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you can be the smartest person in the world. There's always something to learn in that book, that good book right there. That is literally a tapestry of mysteries to unravel.
Yeah.
And even for a wretch like me, that was once upon a time, I was a heathen. You know,
But God.
And that all started with a man who took notice of me when I was a heathen, vile, wretched heathen, angry, bitter, full of pride, arrogance, haughty. I had a man take notice of me. I was like, it was a man of God by the name of Conrad Sayer, who also went through Canaanland.
Yeah, graduated.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but there's somebody that somebody's going to cross paths with here soon. Probably broke down, outcast,
yeah,
without hope. I think the Spirit's moving someone. Step out.
Amen.
Be a hope bringer. Thank you for letting me share.
Amen. You're welcome. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, if you know anybody, too, you know, that maybe you do run across that needs some extra help and needs some attention like what Canaanland brings, send people our way. Have them call us up and let us know that they need help, because that's what we're here for. And we train them up in the ways of God, and we really make disciples. Amen. And so once again, we're going to jump into the Word tonight, but it's an honor to be here. And like I said, without going over and over, I wanted you to see some of the guys of the seed. When you've sown into Canaanland, this is what it's doing in the lives of the men at Canaanland. Amen? Amen. Glasses weren't made for crying or getting emotional. Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you for the word that's going to go forth. I thank you for a word in season, Lord God. And I believe that this is what it is, Lord, a word in season for your people, Lord God. And I thank you that it's delivered in the way that you want it delivered, and it has the effect that you want it to have. in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. Well, the title tonight that I believe that the Lord gave me was Living Out of Your Spirit by the Help of the Holy Spirit. Living out of your spirit, or living out of our spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit. We are a spirit, and I know a lot of you know this, especially if you've been hanging around this bunch for a while. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Somebody say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
Amen. I am a spirit. The real me is a spirit. We are a spirit man. And Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man wasn't really alive until the Lord God breathed the breath of life into him. And I think it's very important to realize and always keep in the forefront of our mind that the real us is not the flesh man, is not the soulish man. The real us is a spirit man. We are a spirit. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I want to focus on this first part. We're going to break down some things because I believe that the Lord's going to help us see some things tonight. It says the Spirit itself bears witness, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Doesn't bear witness with our head. Doesn't bear witness with our emotions or what we feel. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The only way you can communicate with the Holy Spirit is by your spirit that's on the inside of you. Amen? And that's where the body of Christ, I believe, as a whole, needs to learn how to make their decisions based on our spirit that's on the inside of us. Amen? The term bear witness is to confirm a truth. It means to confirm a truth or provide evidence or serve as proof of the truth, to testify. The word testify is to make a formal statement based on personal knowledge. So if the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, he's had personal knowledge directly from the man himself, the Lord God, right? And he bears witness with our spirit. He testifies of what he's seen and what he's heard. And then he comes and he bears witness with our spirit, letting our spirit know this is of God, this is from God. And so it is to make a formal statement based on personal knowledge. So the Holy Spirit himself, based on personal knowledge, you could say inside information, will confirm the truth of God and provide evidence of the truth to our spirits. So anything that's of God, the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness. He's going to confirm this is from God. And we're going to see how it correlates, because too many Christians are living not checking in with their spirit. They're living too much out of their head, out of their emotions, out of their routines. They figured out what's good and acceptable. I'm a good person. I do this. I go to church. I know God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But they're still going through life, going, you know, job, home, taking care of family, this, that, and the other, and they're doing all the things they know to do, having a love for God, having a relationship for God, but not being led by the Spirit of God. And this is a little bit about what I want to talk about tonight. Verse 16 in the Amplified says, the Spirit himself testifies and confirms. This is not the classic. This is, I don't know if y'all have the other Amplified. But verse 16, Amplified says, the Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are the children of God. Now, in this case, he was assuring them that they were indeed the children of God. He was bearing witness with their spirit. Yes, indeed, you are the child of God. I got personal information. I got insight. I got personal knowledge. I know God. I can testify. I can confirm you're a child of God. But what I want to show you is that this pattern works throughout our whole life. Is the Holy Spirit taking the truths of God, confirming it with our spirit, letting us know what is right, what is wrong, what we need to get involved in, what we don't need to get involved in, what job we need to take, what job we don't need to take, amen, what church we need to go to, what church we don't need to go to. Y'all need to come to this one, amen. Invite plenty more, come in. This is a good church, amen. But the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit and let us know what directions to go in life. Amen. And that's so important. Amen. Assurance means knowing something with complete certainty. Assurance means knowing something with complete certainty. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, and then we will know. Listen to that. It says, we'll know something with complete certainty. So when the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, it'll cause us to know completely, 100%, be assured of, this is from God, this is the direction for my life, this is the step I need to take. He'll confirm it, and you'll know that this is where I need to go. This is what I need to be doing. Amen. This is how the Holy Spirit wants to operate in our life. He wants to bear witness, confirm God's truth, so that we will know which paths to take in life. How many of you know that just because it's a good path doesn't always mean it's a God path? Just because it's good, there's a lot of good things out there, but what's right for me, right? There's probably a lot of good bosses, a lot of good jobs, but which one's right for me? Which one does God want me at? Because the one God wants me at is where I'm going to be my best. Amen. Amen. Where he's going to do his best. Where God's provision is for my life. Where the raises and bonuses are that I'm supposed to receive. They come at being at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing, on the right foot. You understand, you get where I'm going. But the Holy Spirit is the one directing us into the paths that we need to take. And it all comes down to that witness that bears witness in our spirit of that direction. The Common English Bible says the same Spirit agrees with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when our spirit picks up something, the Holy Spirit will agree and confirm it as truth in our life if we'll let him. He'll confirm the truth. How many preachers that you know maybe that have gotten off track? Or how many TV preachers that you know that, you know, maybe aren't preaching, you know, legit gospel? We'll just say it that way, right? Maybe they're off or this, that, and the other. Well, what's going to let you know? Because there's a lot of things that we can get in the Bible. And, you know, in this generation, even in what's going around in this generation, there's teaching that goes around that says, you know, everything about God is in the Bible, but not everything in the Bible is in God. Well, that's a fair statement, but if you get over into the ditch with it and say, well, not everything about God is in the Bible, so whatever I hear from God, I'm going to run with, right? Because you believe that it's the truth. You believe that it came from God. But what lets you know if you're on point or if it's accurate or if you're not going to get off in a ditch anywhere? What's going to confirm that with you? The Holy Spirit is going to bear witness with our spirit. Because here's the thing. Everything about God is in the Bible. Not everything in the Bible is in God. He's bigger than the scope of the Bible. But anything that you ever hear from God will agree with the Bible. Nothing God ever says will disagree with anything He's already said. Because if it disagrees with what He's already said, that means He wasn't sure in the first place. And that He can change with time. But He's the God that changes not. He's the God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And so we need the Holy Spirit to confirm with us sometimes what the truth is. Sometimes we'll get a thought in the Bible and have to rein it back in. I know I talked to a pastor one time, and he said, man, he says, I'll see some revelations, and I'll get out there, and I can't preach them all, but he said, I'll go to enough scriptures, and he said, I'll confirm it and make sure that I'm not getting way out there and that everything lines up with the Bible. Amen? And that's the only safe way, amen, to stay on course. Praise the Lord. Verse 16 in the NLT, we're going to look at a few different translations here tonight, says, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm. Joins with our spirit to affirm. Another word for affirm is to validate. The Holy Spirit's going to validate what the truth is. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm or validate that we are indeed the children of God. So the Holy Spirit validates with our spirit so that we'll know what's of God and what's from God. John 16:13 in the King James says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. So who's going to lead us or guide us into all truth? The Holy Spirit. He's going to lead and guide us into all truth. Well, He's not going to lead and guide your head. He's not going to lead and guide your emotions. The Holy Spirit doesn't work with your head, doesn't work with your emotions. He works with your spirit. And we all know down in our conscience, if you will, when something's not right, when something's good, when something seems off, when something seems right, we know that on the inside. And a lot of times we know, you know, the things that we shouldn't do or places we shouldn't go. Holy Spirit say, don't go there. You know, or He might say, don't go there today. What is He doing? He's trying to lead and guide you in order to what? Protect you, right? So the wisdom of the Holy Spirit comes, and He's going to bear witness with your spirit. Your spirit's going to sense something that says, that's right, that's not right. And it's obeying those promptings and obeying those leadings that's going to keep. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, right? So I believe it's important to have the knowledge of God and for the Holy Spirit to be able to bear witness with that knowledge that comes from God so that He can lead us and so that He can guide us. Amen. Howbeit the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He'll show it to you. He'll show it to you. But how are you going to see the things to come that's coming from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, whom you can't see? You're not going to be able to see it with your natural eyes, right? So you're going to have an inward knowing or an inward glance or seeing that this is of God, or you'll taste something that is good. Oh, taste and see. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's okay. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, that's not your natural tongue. You're not physically tasting something that's good. Something feels right and something feels good on the inside. These are all indicators that the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God is trying to lead us and guide us, and we ought to pay attention to those leadings. Pay attention when we get those promptings. Because in those promptings is increase, in those promptings is protection, in those promptings and leadings is to lead us into the goodness of God, leading us into the favor of God, right? God tells you not to go to Walmart. Well, I always go to Walmart, God. He said, go to Kmart. I know we don't have much of those around anymore, but, you know, whatever it is, you know, go to Kmart, you know. So you say, okay, Lord, and you run into somebody there. Have you had that happen? I've had that happen. I've had that happen. Feel led to go somewhere different than I didn't, you know, that I don't normally go. Ran into someone that I hadn't seen in a while. Got into a conversation. Got to talking about God. Got to talking about the ministry. They said they wanted to reconnect, or they wanted to sow some seed, or they wanted to come back out to church. How many of you been somewhere and ran into someone and they bought your groceries, or they bought your coffee, or they bought you something, or you done something similar for somebody else? Wouldn't it happen at another place? Why? Because they were at that place. This is how we get into the flow with God. Come on, somebody. To start seeing the things of God start to increase us, and the favor of God, like Brother Jerry Savelle taught so well, it was his life's goal, teaching people about the favor of God. He taught people how to increase by association, and I think that's how I increased, amen? It's probably how I got my Brittany, increased by association, amen. But God wants to do so much for our life, but he's not going to lead and guide us out of our head or out of our emotions or anything out of the flesh. He's going to do it by being able to minister to your spirit and get you to see something or understand something or have knowledge about something that's going to lead you in a direction that's going to bless you. I mean, there's some encounters that'll stay with you for the rest of your life. And you know why they'll stay with you for the rest of your life? Because God did it. God brought it together. God connected it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll state this again. I know I've already stated it in one way or another. The Holy Spirit will not guide our head. The Holy Spirit will not guide our feelings. The Holy Spirit will only bear witness or guide us by our spirit. Praise the Lord. So we must be in tune with our spirit that's on the inside of us. He will take what's from Jesus and he will confirm it with our spirit to then guide us in life. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you can back up just a few verses. Romans 8, 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anybody got the Spirit of God dwelling in them? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Glory be to God. So when you invite the Holy Spirit to come in, and not just come in, have his way. You're free to lead and guide my life as you please. Because the Holy Spirit is never going to take anything that's not of God, not of Jesus, and reveal it to us. He's only going to reveal to us what is from the Father and from Jesus. Amen. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led," led by the what? By the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I believe it's important to be led by the Spirit of God. But He's not going to lead our flesh. As long as we're caught up in the flesh, just always in the flesh, doing fleshly things, going by what we feel, going by what we see, just living a flesh lifestyle and not listening to our spirit, not willing to obey, we're going to miss the best life that we could possibly ever live and maybe not even realize it. Going to pass us by because we spent too much time living in the flesh, making decisions out of the flesh and not making decisions based on the Spirit of God. Well, checking in with the Lord, checking in with the Spirit, making sure that, hey, this bears witness with my spirit to go here and to do this. Amen. And to be led by Him. Our conscience is, and I'll make this statement about the conscience, and then we're going to talk a little bit about this. Our conscience is the mind of the born-again, recreated human spirit. Our conscience is the mind of the born-again, recreated human spirit. I believe that most people are probably hearing from God and not even realizing what that looks like. Because a lot of the way that I believe that He deals with us is through our conscience, which is not our natural mind. Our conscience is, like I said, it is the mind of the born-again, recreated human spirit. Your conscience knows. Your conscience will bother you. It's just when you get born again and you're a child of God and your aim is to please God and you're saved and you love God and you want what God wants, I believe that your conscience is going to let you know when something ain't right. I believe your conscience will know when you don't need to go somewhere, when you don't need to do something. I believe that your conscience will let you know. Romans 2, if you would, Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law," these Gentiles, they weren't grafted in with the Jews. They were Gentiles. They didn't have the law. But yet they were doing by what? They were doing by nature. The things that were contained in the law, these having not the law or a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Glory be to God. The ways of God, the laws of God, the word of God was written in their hearts. It says what? Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile excusing or excusing one another. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a moment. But it says, even though they didn't have the law, they were by nature doing the things that were contained in the law. Well, how is that possible? They didn't have the law. Who was letting them know? Right? Well, I believe that you'll find is exactly what I was talking about. The Holy Spirit was bearing witness with their spirit, right? And their conscience, the mind of their born-again, recreated human spirit, was picking up on something and letting them know what was right and what wasn't right, and they were doing according to the laws of God, the ways of God. They were actually doing them even though they were Gentiles. Their conscience was bearing witness or confirming what was written in their hearts, and they were being led by that and having success. These men were having success. They were doing the ways of God, even though they didn't have the laws of God. They were outsiders. They were Gentiles. Verse 15 in the Passion Translation says, "It demonstrates," this is verse 15, "it demonstrates that the requirements of the law are woven into their hearts." Do y'all have this translation? I didn't know if y'all are able to follow along, but it demonstrates that the requirements of the law are woven into their hearts. They know what is right and wrong. For their conscience, this is the passion, their conscience validates this law in their heart. Their thoughts correct them in one instance and commend them in another. So the Holy Spirit was bearing witness with their spirit. You know, they got saved, filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God was bearing witness, letting them know, hey, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't seem right. We're not going to do that. This feels right. This seems right. We're going to do that. And they were obeying those leadings and obeying those guidings, and they were living in the ways of God just like the Jews were, even though they had never seen the laws of God. But they were put in their hearts through the rebirth. Praise the Lord. Can you handle some more? Verse 14 in the NLT says, even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know His law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. And I don't even know if I've shared it here. I know I've shared it quite a bit. They instinctively obeyed it. It was an instinct in them just to do the right things based on this instinct, this knowing in their heart what was right, what pleased God, and what didn't. And I always like to compare it to, animals. Animals instinctively do things. How many of you never trained your pet to do certain things and they seem to always manage to figure it out? Because there's something that is an instinct on the inside of them. An instinct in a dog is to lift his leg up, right? But not when they're a puppy, right? But eventually, they figure it out. They start hiking that leg up, right? Cats don't do that, right? You got tigers and all kind of other animals and elephants, and they got different instincts on the inside of them. It's built in their DNA. And what we have to realize is we've been recreated. We're called to put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and holiness. The new man instinctively knows how to do what's righteous and do what's holy without even trying. Well, I'm just trying to live for God the best I can. Not if you know who you are in Christ. Not if you know who you are in Him. Not if you put on the new man, which after God was created in righteousness and holiness. When you accept that new man and invite Him in and invite the Holy Spirit to bear it witness, you'll start instinctively doing things. Like, wow. Where did that come from? It's inside of the new man. The old man has instincts, prone to sin, right? And now the new man is prone to do the ways of God and to live in the ways of God and to do what's right in His sight. It instinctively knows how to do that. Verse 15 says in the NLT, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts. For their own conscience and thoughts, their own conscience and thoughts either excuse them or tell them that they are doing right. Ain't that something? Let's keep reading here because I don't have much time, but I want to try to wrap up with a few things. Matthew 13:13 through 16 says, therefore speak I unto them in parables. This is Jesus talking. Because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So listen to this. He said, I have to speak to them in parables, because even though they see, they don't see. Even though they hear, they don't hear. Neither do they understand. So I think it's safe to say that this group of people Jesus is talking about is ones who were completely living out of their flesh. They weren't living out of the Spirit. They weren't picking up anything on the Spirit, because if they were picking up something in the Spirit, they would have seen and heard and understood, right? Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saying, by hearing they shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Well, he's not talking about their natural eyes. He's not talking about their physical ears. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, not their head. Your heart or your born-again, recreated human spirit is going to understand some things by the Spirit of God. He's going to confirm it, testify. Hey, I've been with the Master. This is a go. This is good. Okay, thank you, Holy Ghost. Right? And you do it. Verse 16, or it says the last part of 15, and they should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, I'm going to make this statement, and I would hope in this camp and this teaching, I would safely say that you'll probably understand this, but everything that we have in our five physical senses, we have in our spirit, man. If you'll imagine almost like a duplicate Caleb, but on the inside, has all the same, you know, hearing, seeing, understanding, mind. Everything that I have in the flesh or in the natural of my five physical senses, I have in my spirit man. And to prove it to you, if you back up, you don't have to, but if you back up to Matthew 13:9, it says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, he wasn't talking about these natural ears, because he said even though they were hearing, they weren't hearing, yeah. Right? So he wasn't talking about their natural ears. He was talking about their spiritual ears. Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Well, he wasn't talking about your natural tongue, was he? He was talking about the spirit man, what? Tasting of the Lord that he is good. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. And then he continues on. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So what's the purpose of your eyes being enlightened? So that you may know. And then he says the hope of the calling, and it goes on down. But this works not in just that instance. This works in every area of life. He bears witness with our spirit so that we'll know something, so that we'll understand something, so that we'll see something about God that we can understand and then incorporate it in our life. Amen. It's important not just to have the wisdom of God, but have the understanding of it. If you don't understand how I can practically walk this thing out, if you don't see the practicality of it and understand it, you don't ever do it, right? I can have the wisdom on how to put something together. Man, I could even have some of those instructions in the box. And it's amazing how I'm sitting back even with the instructions and being like, well, golly, I don't even know how to read the instructions. I mean, I need instructions on how to read the instructions in the box. You know what I'm saying? But if I understood how to put that thing together, right? Then, and I understood practically how to do it, I could put it together and make it look halfway decent. But if the wisdom is, you need to put this thing together, and I'm going to say, okay, well, how do I put it together? And that's the missing part for a lot of people in the body of Christ. That's where a lot of Christians get stuck. They know that they need to be led by the Spirit and walking out, but they don't understand practically how to walk these things out. And that's what I'm doing tonight, is saying we have to listen to our conscience, to what's in our heart. God put his laws, his ways inside of our heart. Something is put inside the new man that instinctively knows and wants to do the ways and the things of God. And we got to listen to that, and we have to obey that instinct. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit will reveal and confirm something to us, and the eyes of our understanding will be able to see and to know how to appropriate it. He'll show us how to walk it out. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind," verse 24, "and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness." Now, if we could wrap it up with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read through pretty quickly. I don't want to take up much more of your time tonight. But 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us." Oh. So God's revealed the things that he has prepared for them that love him. He's revealed them unto us by what? By his Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man? We are spirit. Except the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but who knows them? The Spirit of God knows them. Okay, the Holy Spirit of God knows them. Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." Somebody says, "We have received not the spirit of the world." You are a spirit. And as a born-again believer, we are to receive the and welcome the Spirit of God and not be moved by what? The spirit of the world. By the spirit of the world. How many know that there are spirits out in the world? Spirits of depression. All kind of things that oppress people. Oppress believers. A lot of different spirits that motivate, the spirit of fear. But God's not given us a spirit of fear. But of power and love. And of a sound mind. So there's spirits. But we don't need just any spirit. We need the Spirit of God, what? To lead and guide us. We don't need to be led by the spirit of fear. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. We don't need to be led around by our depression. Don't ever say my depression, because then you're taking ownership of it. Well, it's my depression. No, I might be fighting against depression. I might allow some depression in, but it's not mine. It don't belong to me. I just need to realize it so I can, what? Kick it out. Okay? So in the world, you got the spirit of depression, but the Spirit of God is mightier than the spirit of depression. Amen? So let me finish this up. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." How are we going to know the things that's been freely given to us of God? The Holy Spirit's going to bear witness with your spirit and says, "This is good. This is right." Something in you is going to know that it's right. It's going to feel good in your spirit, man. And you're going to know that you know I'm heading in the right direction. I'm a child of God. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm not a sinner saint. we're not sinners saved by grace. I was a sinner. Now I'm saved by the grace of God. I was a sinner. Now I'm the righteousness of God. And here's the thing. Once you realize who you are, the position of righteousness, that I am right indeed with God, that I am righteous with God, that knowing who you are, if you have embraced who you are as the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God is going to produce the path of righteousness. It's going to produce all the righteous things that you could do. It's going to come from a place of knowing who you are. Until you know who you are, you can't live out because you don't know that you are. I was and am an alcoholic. My name is Caleb. I'm an alcoholic. No. I was, but I've been redeemed. I was, but I've been saved. I was, but I'm not anymore. I'm now the righteousness of God. And inside of the righteousness of God is the instinct to live out the path of that righteousness of what? Who we are. Glory be to God. You ever seen a cat act like a dog or a dog act like a cat? You know, they're acting against their nature, right? Because they might have seen, you know, a cat do something or a dog do something. They pick up something. I don't know if y'all have ever seen that, but I have. I have a customer. His name is Harley. He does cat-like things, but he is a dog, praise the Lord. he's living against his nature. Amen. But once he accepts that he's a dog, he can be happy, praise the Lord. And do dog-like things, praise the Lord. All right, I'm meddling. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words of man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, and this is where I wanted to get to, and we'll wrap up with this. There's more, but I'll wrap up. Amen. Us preachers, we just have to find a place to unplug, right? You know. Verse 14. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. As long as a person is fighting against who they are, who they've been created in Christ Jesus to be, then they're going to fight against or live out of their fleshly man, and they're not going to be able to receive the things that are from what? The Spirit of God. Because, we'll see it here in a minute, they're spiritually discerned. It can't be discerned out of your head. It can't be discerned out of your feelings. We ought to nail our thoughts and our feelings and the things of our mind, nail them to the cross. And if it doesn't line up with God's thoughts and God's ways, just decide they're no longer going to be a part of my life. And, you know, that might be a journey to get there, but you got to be willing to make the step, and you got to be willing to take the journey and quit living out of your flesh and start to learn how to live out of your spirit. Because even though my dad got saved, everything getting, you know, he said for others it seemed like they just went squeaky clean. He said, but not me. You know, he said, I was still smoking herbs, you know, and I read in the Bible God created herbs and they were good. And he's thinking, sure are. He was smoking a lot of herbs, you know, and, you know, still drinking, you know. But he truly got born again, truly got saved. But those things had to start filtering out of his life. And until they did, he couldn't clearly or accurately be able to hear the things that were spiritually discerned or the things of God because of living out of the flesh. But he had a desire that if it displeased God, it displeased him. If God hated it, I hated it. If God liked it, I like it. And he had made that decision in his heart, but still struggling. And then, of course, y'all know, most of y'all that heard the story, sweet little pastor wrote on a little card. I think it was before the What Would Jesus Do bracelets. And I like Do What Jesus Did. Maybe that would be a better bracelet. Everybody knows what Jesus would do, but are you willing to do it? Yeah. Anyways, beside the point. But if Jesus was here, he wrote on that little 3x5 card, if Jesus was here, would he do it? And my dad said at the time, he looked at it and said, piece of cake. And he got on down the road and realized, this sweet old card is a pain in the neck. He's like, I thought this was going to be some easy thing, but if Jesus was here, would do it. And then he tried to imagine Jesus smoking, y'all know, drinking, and you know, and he couldn't see it. And there went the booze, there went the cigarettes. And everything got started getting cleaned out of his life, and the Lord was helping him. Why? Because of a point of desire in his spirit, man, that this is the way that I want to live for the rest of my life. And that determination is going to cause you to continually chase after God, chase after the things of the Spirit, let him lead you, let him guide you. And when the Holy Spirit confirms or agrees that, hey, this isn't from God, you don't need to be doing, well, how do I know if I shouldn't smoke? Listen to the Spirit of God. Check your spirit. He'll let you know. How should I know if I shouldn't vape? Or how should I know if I shouldn't do this? Listen to the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is going to tell you something, and he'll confirm it, and he'll guide it. And look, anything that the Holy Spirit ever directs you to do is not to diminish your life in any way. And what seems like a diminish is only an increase. Amen. Only a promotion. Only an increase in promotion in what? The anointing. The anointing. For you then to be able to turn around and break the shackles off somebody else.
Amen.
Break something off of somebody else. Because of the anointing. There's nothing like carrying the anointing on your life and to know that your life is clean and pure before God and that you're his servant and I'm your man. I'm your woman. Be able to say that to God. I'm your woman. I'm your man. Use me. And he will. Praise the Lord. Natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I said, but we have the mind of Christ, and we can know some things. Amen. So I know I don't have much time to really, you know, delve in, but I hope I gave you enough of a taste and a hunger or a desire to really chase after this more. Because everything you accomplish by the flesh, you will receive no reward in heaven. There's a scripture that says if your works don't hold up to the fire, it's going to be burned and you'll have nothing to show for it. So what things that are left that we have to show of our life is the areas that we were what? Led by the Spirit of God. That we lived out of our spirit man, and we lived by what pleased God and what God wanted. I love the scripture in Ephesians 5:10 in the Message Bible. It says, find out what pleases God and then do it. Pretty simple, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Without calling anybody up front, I do want to give people an opportunity, and all you got to do is raise your hand. But if you'd bow your heads just out of respect to everybody around you, and if you're watching online, I'm going to give you the same opportunity tonight. But I feel led in three different categories. Is number one, you're not saved. You don't know for sure that you're going to heaven. And if you were to die tonight, you don't know for sure that you would go to heaven, but you would like to know. If that's you, just slip up your hand. If that is anybody in this sanctuary, don't leave without knowing God. Don't leave without accepting the Spirit of God in your life, accepting your salvation through Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He gave himself for you. And if you're watching online and you're not saved, just be honest with yourself right now and say, I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need to be led by something other than what I've been led by without knowing Jesus. I'm telling you, there's a whole nother level for you, but it starts at the point of salvation. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, let's say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. I believe that you've forgiven me and washed it clean by the blood of Jesus. I believe that not only did Jesus die and go in the grave, but he was raised up out of the grave. And now he's seated at your right hand, Heavenly Father, on my behalf, for me, so that I can be saved. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm saved by the blood that you shed. I'm saved and I'm redeemed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The second thing that I will just throw it out as an invite to you here. If you don't have the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in your heavenly language or another tongue, I'm going to invite you after the service is dismissed to come up here and let me pray with you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. His involvement in your life is crucial, in my opinion. To have the Holy Spirit working and the infilling of the Holy Spirit working in your life, to be able to strengthen you in the times of need and to be able to build yourself up on your most holy faith and to be strengthened and to pick up on the wisdom of God. But if that's you, I want to invite you to come after the service is dismissed and pray with me to receive the Holy Spirit. And the third thing I felt led tonight is, and you can just raise your hand, maybe you've been walking in this or being led by the Spirit of God, but you haven't been the most consistent. Things have kind of tapered off, and you kind of just got into a good, comfortable flow. You just got into a good flow. I'm good. I keep my nose clean. I don't do anything. But you're not really checking in with your Spirit or the Spirit of God to say, God, lead me. Where do you want me to go? What place do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to today? And maybe that slipped a little bit in your life. Not to embarrass anybody, every head bowed, every eye closed. But if that's you, I just want to pray for you. Slip up your hand, if that's you, to be led by this. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Just slip it up right back down. Thank you for that hand. Praise the Lord. This is one of the things and one of the main things that God wanted me to deal with tonight. And so I'm going to pray over each of you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that the more that they check in to these leadings, Lord God, the more that they pray in the Holy Ghost, the more that they pray in their heavenly language and do it often and do it much, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness in their spirit, Lord God, and some things are going to be unlocked, Lord God. Increase is going to come that they've been seeking for a while, and it's just going to come. The increase is going to come. The favor is just going to come, Lord God. Favor that they needed in their jobs, in their workplaces, in different situations. Lord God, the door is going to be opened unto them, Lord God, because they're going to listen and check in, and the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness and confirm, this is from God, this is the direction, this is the path. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Let the Lord direct your paths. Even if you think the ones that God's okay with, just check in with him and make sure that that's what he wants for now, for today. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that things are going to start to shift immediately because of their decision tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. Pastor Mark, thank you once again. Pastor John, praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 Good stuff. Good stuff. Amen. Praise God. As you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, we're always want to be led by the Spirit of God. But, you know, I was thinking about your dad's testimony, and I'm so thankful for that pastor that saw value in your father's life. I really am. And you know, I've been thinking about it a lot. You know, we come in contact with all kinds of different people, whether that's our neighbors or that old mean, surly boss that you've got or family member that's challenging you. You know, we come across all kinds of different people, but their lives have value. And I tell you, when you begin to really get a hold of that, it'll change the way that you deal with people. We unfortunately, we just got word just yesterday that a relative of a church member tragically lost their life, lost to eternity, because they didn't know Jesus, or they didn't choose Jesus. Let me just say it that way. How tragic is that? And I tell you, when you hear a testimony like that, it sobers you up real quick to life has meaning. That person that you're sitting next to, their life has meaning. It has value. But I was also thinking, your dad, one time when he was here, he was with tears in his eyes. He said, "What would this church look like if we got what we prayed for?" Because, you know, it's part of my daily prayer to pray, "Lord, send us the lost, the hurting, and the dying." Every single day I say, "Lord, send us the lost, the hurting, and the dying." But what would that look like? What would that sound like? They're going to sound different. They're going to look different. They're going to smell different. It's going to be different.